We've just started. We've changed the website a little bit, and we've made a whole new section about the House of Prayer with all the different things around that, the schedule. And one thing we're doing on there is collecting together all the teaching on prayer. So over the years, I've done a lot of teaching on prayer, and there's quite a lot of it being collected together and put on the House of Prayer section. So if you want to see some of the prayer stuff or listen again through that, you're really welcome. And this one will hopefully join it later in the week. So I want to talk today about being a watchman. Jill corrected me and said it had to be watch people. They don't quite sound the same, does it? So watch men or watch women. But I'm going to say watch men, so you have to forgive me. I'm too old-fashioned for watch people. It doesn't work in my vocabulary. Yeah, we could say watchmakers. We could say all sorts, couldn't we? Watcher, yes, a watcher. Watch it. It doesn't quite sound the same. So we're going to read a reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, before we start. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourself no rest, and give him no rest, till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. Pass through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, raise a banner for the nations. So I want to talk just this morning about what does it mean to be a watchman for the Lord, and how can we as a community and as individuals get involved in that call to be a watchman. Now, at various times I've talked to, you know, I love church history, and I talked various times about the example of the Moravians. And just for a few minutes, I'm going to talk again about them. The Moravians lived in about the 1700s. In a little place that you can see there, if you've got good eyes, about there, called Herrnhut. And the red countries are the Protestant ones. You know, after the time of Luther, there started really a revival of people turning back to the Word of God, and it gradually spread. It spread among the people, and it also spread politically, and some countries like our own at that time decided to jump in and break from the Catholic Church and become Protestant, and others didn't. And so it was a great time of revival on the one hand and persecution on the other, because in many countries where the rulers wouldn't turn to become Protestant, they started persecuting anyone that was translating the Bible into their own language and preaching the Word of God. And so there were all these movements like the Anabaptists and the Waldensians, the Hussites, people turning to Christ, people being killed, meetings in forests and caves, all sorts of amazing things going on. And so at that time, there was this young man called Count Zinzendorf, and he was like a part of the ruling class of Europe. He was very high up. The count was just one below the king. And he had big lands in this place called Herrnhut, and he was situated right on the edge, really, between the Protestant and the Catholic country. And so he started opening his home to Christians who were fleeing from persecution. There were a lot from Bohemia, which is modern-day sort of Austria and the Czech Republic, were coming in. And at first he gave land and built houses for two or three that he took pity on. And then the two and three became five and ten, and they started going back into the Catholic countries and rescuing their families and fellow church members, those converted. And the community grew until it had become about 300 people. And they called the place Herrnhut, which literally means the Lord's Watch. And it was a double meaning between that. One was that it was a place where they believed the Lord was watching over them. They could be safe from persecution under the watch of the Lord. But the other one meant to be on watch for the Lord, and we'll talk more about that later. From that time in history, there are many amazing stories of miraculous deliverance from persecution. People were arrested and locked up in towers, and there are stories that suddenly in the middle of the night, a rope miraculously appeared in the cell and they could let themselves down out of the tower. And people were miraculously released from prison, like Peter, and they could walk past the guards who didn't see them. They're invisible. And so many people were miraculously delivered. At the same time, many were killed for their faith. And a lot of them gathered in this place called Herrnhut. But the problem was that because they came from many different places, they didn't always get on. You know, they had different languages and different theology as well. Some were Calvinists, some were Hussites, some were Anabaptists, some believed in children baptism and some didn't. And it wasn't very long before they were all arguing. Just like the church, not our church, but other churches. Do you know, these days if you argue, you can just leave and go and join another church. Well, at that time, there wasn't another church. So you were in the Protestant church. And people started arguing about the communion, about baptism, about how they should have their meetings, about how the leadership should be. One of the first leaders there started calling Zinzendorf the Antichrist, you know, and the whore of Babylon, even though he'd given them the land that they were building on. And it was a terrible time. And so this guy Zinzendorf started to go around and sit with each person, every household of the community, and appeal to them for unity. And they started praying. And the prayer meetings started getting longer. And eventually he persuaded 14 of the leading men to sit with him and pray through the night. And they were from different communities, Calvinists, Hussites, different ones. And as they were there praying on this special night, at midnight, they looked outside and there was a crowd of others that had all come, and they decided they were going to come together as one to seek God and to pray for unity. And the next day they had what they call their Moravian Pentecost, where in their communion service the presence of God came in a powerful way, and an awareness of the holiness of God, they wrote, came like a purging fire, leading them to a deeper repentance. Some began to pray fervently with intense voices. Loud cries drowned out the singing. Well, you know, we long for a day like that. People fell on the dust. Many were touched powerfully by the presence of God. But a couple of weeks after, the Holy Spirit started to urge them that they needed to pray around the clock if they wanted to keep their Pentecost. It's one thing to have a visitation from the Lord, but it's another thing to keep it. And so 24 men and 24 women committed themselves to pray for an hour a day. And so they had a rota, and round the clock they watched. Watching over their community, the 24 men, 24 women soon became 77 of each. And they put outside on the door of the church this: our church is young. The devil is alive. We cannot rest. We need all the intercessory prayer warriors. And people responded, and they come in the middle of the night and through the day. They'd all have their watch, and they would watch on behalf of the community. You know the story. It's a famous one, a prayer meeting that started, went for 100 years without stopping. And out from that prayer meeting, amazing things happened. Within 30 years, over 300 missionaries had gone to the most unreached places of the world. The Arctic, South America, the Far East, into Russia, North and South America. And at the same time, revival spread out, and people like John Wesley was filled with the Holy Spirit when he came to visit Herrnhut, and the English Great Awakening, and also into America, came out from this amazing movement of prayer. When people watch and pray, amazing things happen. And so I just want to give us six very brief points. Each of these could be a sermon on its own, but six things about being a watchman and how we can be watchmen and what we have to do as watchmen. So the first thing is that they watched on behalf of the community. Now, we're such an individualistic society. People won't do anything unless it's something about themselves. And you know, the people in Herrnhut, they came in the middle of the night to pray, not for themselves, but for the community, so that God would watch over their community and over their persecuted brothers and sisters back in the countries that we came from. I believe if we want God to move, we need to step out of our individualism. So long as God blesses me, so long as my walk with God and my family is okay, then I don't need to do more. God wants us to step into this thing where we're actually watching out for others, watching out for the church. Now, in theory, we should all pray for the church, and I hope you do pray for the church. But in reality, I wonder how much we actually pray for the church. We all want the church to be blessed, because if church is blessed, then we'll have a nicer time on a Sunday. It'll benefit me, but how much do we actually put into that? I'd love everyone to be honest and fill in the questionnaire and say, well, I pray so many minutes a day, and we might all be a bit disappointed to see how many minutes we pray. 10 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, an hour a day. I don't know how much you pray, and I'm, you know, not judging anyone, but say if you pray 10 minutes a day, okay, how many of those 10 minutes are about the church? And how many of them are about you and your family and your life and the things that bless you? And if you're similar to most other people, I'd say that at least 75% of your prayer would be about you and your circumstance. And very little, actually, for the community. And one of the best ways to learn how to pray, or how to go deeper in prayer, is to make ourselves pray about things that perhaps stretch us, like the church, like the town, like the community. Do you know, when we only pray so few minutes for the church or for the town, it's not a great surprise that God isn't doing more among us. But when we put ourselves an hour or a couple of hours and we say, right, on that hour, I'm going to come into the prayer house and I'm going to pray for the church. What would happen if numbers of us started doing that? And 1 hour it was this one, and then the next hour another one and another one. And we had all these watchman hours where people just came in and they cried out to God, for God to move, for the church, for the town, for the nation. That's what the people did in Herrnhut. They started watching out, not just for themselves, but for the community. And God did amazing things. The second point is that as a watchman, you need to watch against the enemy. We know the scripture, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Now, Peter, when he wrote those words, he wasn't joking. Do you know, we have a devil who is prowling around and he's looking to devour people. And if everyone that had been to this church still was in the church, this room wouldn't be big enough to hold them all. Because people fall away. You know, people come, they give their life to God, they start following, but then somehow the devil is prowling around like a lion and he takes people. And first they just miss one Sunday and then it becomes a few months, and then before long they're so far away from God and the church they don't come back, and they feel so far from God they don't know how to come back. Do you know, we as their brothers and sisters, we need to be watching for each other, watching for the enemy prowling around. In Bible days, the shepherds would watch the sheep all night, and the lions, you know, there were lions, and the way that the lions would attack the flock is that they use the cover and they use the darkness and they try and come unseen and they nibble away at the edges. And that's how the devil's been working in our society, really, isn't it? I don't know if any of you watched the webcast of the National Day of Prayer that our friend David Hathaway did the other week. But I was really struck by something Clifford Hills said at that meeting. Clifford Hills has been one of the most notable prophetic voices, perhaps, of our generation, speaking out against all sort of things. But he said on the stage that day that when the bill to legalize abortions first came in the UK, you know, he was a minister of a big church, about 500 people, and he said he didn't even pray once about that bill. And he said he didn't actually know anyone else who did either. There were no special prayer meetings that were held. The church was busy doing church stuff, you know, looking after these people here. And somehow nobody was watching at that point, and the enemy was allowed to come in and just legalize abortion. And how many hundreds of thousands of babies have been killed in our nation because nobody was watching. Nobody was fighting. And, you know, we lost that one, and then the enemy comes in other ways, doesn't he? And since those days, how many more battles have been lost? The legalization of, you know, same-sex marriages recently. The taking away of daily assembly in school, the reading of the Bible and the prayer that was there in schools when I was a kid, doesn't happen. Even making it illegal for teachers and nurses to wear crosses, for example, at work. And so bit by bit, the enemy is coming. But who is watching? Who is praying? Who is fighting? Not just for the church, but for the nation. We need to watch to protect against the enemy. I love this picture, the old listening posts. And another function of a biblical watchman is to watch for the word of the Lord. I say, watch for a word. Surely you listen for a word. Well, you listen with the eyes of your heart. And in the book of the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 2, Habakkuk says this, I will stand at my watch, station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. So we need to be actively listening for the word of the Lord. Do you know, we can be very busy doing things for God, but unless we hear what is it that God wants us to do, we can actually be wasting our time and our energy. The disciples fished all night and they caught nothing until they heard the voice of the Lord that said, fish here. And, you know, we need to, as a watchman, as a community, be listening. What is God asking us to do as a church? That's the main reason I set aside those 31 days, you know, in January, just listening to God, to try and hear what was his strategy. What did he want us as a community to be doing? And the main thing that came out of that, as you know, because I've been preaching about it these last few weeks, is the, you know, the feeling that God wants us to be praying more. But that's not the last word that God wants to say to us. There's lots of other things. And we need to be listening to the voice of the Lord. And so going back to your prayer life, you know, your 10 minutes or hopefully more, 30 minutes. How many of those minutes do you spend listening to God? Do we give time where we set aside, like the prophet Habakkuk? He goes, I'm going to station myself on the wall and I'm going to look, I'm going to wait, I'm going to listen until I hear the word from the Lord. But then when we hear the word of the Lord, we need to watch over the word until it's fulfilled. This is a scripture from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, where God shows Jeremiah the branch of an almond tree. That's a branch of an almond tree. I bet you didn't know that, did you? Maybe some of you did know it. Mavis is nodding. Yeah, she knew that. He goes, Jeremiah, what do you see? He goes, I see the branch of an almond tree. And I've said this before, but the almond tree in the Hebrew, the word almond is in the Hebrew watcher. It was called the watching tree. And the reason is because it came into blossom before any of the other trees. And it was like first the watcher tree came out and it watched over all the other trees as they came into blossom. Like it was the mother hen watching the chicks, you know, suddenly come out from under its wing. And so God goes to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, what do you see? He goes, I see the branch of an almond tree. And God says, yes, you've seen correctly. I am watching over my word to see that it is fulfilled. And you know, we need to watch over God's word. When he speaks something to us, when he gives us a promise, he says something is going to happen, that's not the time for us just to sit back, fold our arms and say, hallelujah, thank you God, you've said that. I'm just going to wait now and I'll let you do everything and it'll come to pass. No, not at all. You have to watch over that word. And the implication of that is that we have to work with God. We have to watch with God in prayer. We have to ask God to fulfill his word. And you can see that from the passage we read at the start in Isaiah, where God goes, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn. The nations will see your righteousness. So you could read a verse like that and you could sit back and you could go, great, I'm so looking forward to watching you do this, God. Except a bit later on in the same passage, he goes, you who call on the Lord, give yourself no rest. And give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. In other words, you guys, you have to be the watchmen. You have to give yourself no rest and give God no rest until he actually fulfills what he promised. In the book of Isaiah, it was to make Jerusalem the praise of the earth. That was what he said he'd do. I'll make, you know, Zion, for Zion's sake, I won't keep quiet until your salvation blazes like a torch, you know. But the watchmen, they had, that was their specific promise that they had to watch over. And they had to keep asking God to do this. It says later in the passage, pass through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, raise a banner for the nations. And all those things are things that we have to do in prayer. Do you know, as a shepherd, if you're trying to get your sheep to go through a gate, you have to push them, or you have a dog that is nipping at their heels. And you have to go, go on, pass through, go through. And in prayer, we have to push that promise through. the gate. We have to, in prayer, prepare the way for the people. We have to see where God is wanting to go, and we have to speak it out. We have to remove the stones, the obstacles. We have to raise up the valley where there's low places, where people are afraid or they don't have the energy or the vision. We have to somehow fill those in and make a level way, pull down the mountains and raise up the valleys and prepare a road, just like in the natural, when they're building a road. They bring all sorts of new material and they put it in, they make a straight way. And we have to do that in prayer. We have to find the problems and pray against them. We have to speak things that don't exist yet into being, call workers to come. All of that in prayer we have to do. I don't know if any of you went to the Rodney Howard Brown meeting on, when was it, Thursday night, was it? That was a good meeting, but I was interested to meet there. There was this couple that someone introduced me to, and I goes, "Oh, hi, who are you?" And they said, "Oh, we're pastors from Lincolnshire." They're probably about 60 or so. And I said, "Oh, what are you doing here?" And they said, "Oh, God is calling us over to this region." They said, "We've just been in a transition place where we've put others in place in our church because we know God is calling us to come to East Yorkshire." And I said, "Praise God, I've been praying, we've been praying in the Pursuing His Presence movement for people to come from the north, the south, and the east and the west." And they said, "Oh, that's why, that must be why we're coming." But you have to, you know, you have to hear that from God. And then you have to pray and push until it actually comes to pass. Now, where they'll settle, we don't know. God knows, they're looking around different places. There's lots of room in the East Riding for more pastors. Lots of places that need new churches. But as we pray, people will come, and also to this church as well. So we need to push and build and prepare the way for the Lord. Two more points, and I'm going very quickly because I'm running out of time. Another thing about being a watchman is that you have to watch for the bridegroom. We all know the story probably in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins. There were 5 foolish ones and 5 wise ones, weren't there? And they all went out to meet the bridegroom. And they were watching down the road for the bridegroom to come. But the bridegroom was a bit delayed in coming, wasn't he? And why is God always delayed in answering prayer? I think there'll be a lot of people that will ask God that when they get to heaven. "God, you said this to me and I've been waiting all this time." You know, some of us have been preaching about revival and waiting, and revival's around the corner, and it seems a long corner, doesn't it? You're going round until the time where God will move. And as we're waiting, like these virgins, you know, it's easy to fall to sleep. They all fell to sleep. And suddenly, something stirred them. Somebody must have not been asleep, because there was the cry of one saying, "The bridegroom is coming." Maybe there were 11 and one didn't go to sleep. I don't know how that happened. But somebody was watching. And suddenly they get up and 5 find that they've got enough oil in their lamp. 5 didn't have enough oil. The oil is the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? They were all friends of the bridegroom, all 10. 10 friends of the bridegroom were invited to come to this revival party, but only 5 entered in because 5 didn't have the oil. We need to be watching for the bridegroom. We need to be earnestly waiting, inviting him to come, speeding forward the time of his coming by our prayers. Like the watchman that waits for the dawn, waiting is not a passive, "Oh, we'll wait till it comes." It's a reaching out. It's a bringing forward, bringing from heaven down into earth what is to come. Jesus went up to heaven on the day of ascension, And the last thing he said to his disciples was, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit." Now, none of those disciples knew what that would look like. And none of them knew how long they'd have to wait. It might have been a few hours, they would have thought originally. So they all go into the upper room. We don't know how many went into the upper room, maybe a few hundred. They probably thought that the next day the Holy Spirit would come. But the next day came and there was nothing different. And the next day came and, you know, what starts to happen? People start to drift off, don't they? Do you know, it started off 200 that were full of zeal and passion and they were going to get this Holy Spirit. And gradually, you know, oh, I've got to go and see a man about a dog and I've got to buy this and my wife's calling for me. I can't be too long away from the children. And gradually the numbers whittled down and whittled down and whittled down. And people started saying, well, maybe Jesus, you know, maybe it was years. Maybe we'll have to wait 40 days, you know, like he was praying in the wilderness 40 days. And someone goes, well, weren't they in the wilderness 40 years? You know, like the people of Israel, how long will we have to wait? And nobody knew. And some were praying earnestly and others, you know, praying less earnestly. And you know, imagine you've been there for 8 days, 9 days. And you went after 9 days. You didn't know that the Holy Spirit would come after 10 days. And it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Just imagine at 8:50 you went out to the toilet. You know, you needed the bathroom. Or you missed it because you'd waited all that time and then you just left just before. I pinched that from Rodney Howard Brown. That was what he was preaching about the other day. I just thought that was great. You know, waiting. Who's waiting and watching until the Holy Spirit comes? In the days of the early Pentecostal revival, they had waiting meetings where they'd sit in a room and they'd wait until they were baptized again in the power of the Holy Spirit. We should bring waiting meetings back. You know, all of us, we need more of the Holy Spirit. We need to watch and wait until. And the last point. There are many scriptures that talk about praying day and night. Jesus encouraged his disciples in Luke 18 to pray day and night. There's a well-known scripture in Leviticus that the fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. This was the scripture that inspired the Moravians from Leviticus chapter 6. The fire must burn continually, day and night. And we remember in Gethsemane, it was nighttime, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Please, will you watch and pray with me just a few more hours? My soul's in agony." But those disciples, they couldn't pray because they were tired and they fell to sleep. How many of us are willing to watch and pray with Jesus even through the night? Now, we're just talking at the moment with some of the leaders and prayer people in the church and also with other pastors around the region, because many of us are feeling a call to night and day prayer. But how we'll express that, we're not sure. But within the next month, we're going to start something. Whether it'll be an all-night prayer meeting once a month, whether it'll be hours of prayer where people can get up at 2 a.m. and pray, we're not sure what expression it's going to take. But the things that we know is that God is pushing many people around the region to start being a watchman. And as a watchman, you know, you take extra shifts. You wouldn't normally do that thing, but you commit yourself for all these 6 reasons that we've given. You commit yourself to take extra time to be a watchman. And I believe that we're, you know, as I say, we're going to start something next month, but what, we're not sure. But some of that will be people coming in the week, and you can start this right now, you know, from this week. Come into the prayer house and take an hour or a couple of hours and just pray. And it will do you so much good. You say, well, I could pray at home. Yes, you could pray at home, but do you pray at home? Do you know, it's much easier when you actually make the journey to come to a place, especially when it's a dedicated place and you can put on worship music or the International House of Prayer live web stream, whatever else. There's less distractions there than at home. And it's a place that's given over for prayer. It's a place that's full of the presence of God. And so, you know, we're asking God, how do we organize this? But I'm challenging you, when it won't be long, a week or two, and there'll be a practical way that you can step in. And even now, you can start, you know, you can start coming for an hour or 2 hours through the week. We're going to put a different lock on the door with a combination number so that people can just know the combination and come in whenever they want, you know, day or night to pray. So I'm going to finish by doing something that I don't normally do. You know me, I don't like pushing people to do things, but I just feel on the inside I want to do something, which is I just want to ask for a response, you know, for people who are willing to be a watchman for the Lord. It's a time, perhaps this is one of the things, pushed through the gates. You know, it's a time where we need to really get serious. And I'd just like to ask people who feel that they are willing to be a watchman for God and to spend extra hours, however it is, you know, we'll see, there's no time limit on what we're asking you to commit to. But I'd just like to ask those who feel they'd like to step into that, just to stand up, and we'll pray for those people. I don't stand just because everyone else is standing. It's not like the A team and the B team. God